Hello, my name is Tim Law with Success Learning Systems, and today I'll be interviewing Dr. Beth Halbert, and she has a passion and skill set for teens, and she's done a number of wonderful things as far as her career and everything, and I want to share some of her background. Dr. Beth Halbert, known as Dr. Beth, is America's teenologist. She is a licensed child, teen, and family psychologist with a big vision and a compassionate heart. She combines sound clinical practices and parent-teen coaching with warmth and playfulness to build healthy, individuated, responsible, loving relationships between children, teens, and parents. Dr. Beth provides products, services, and workshops, including the six-week Bridging the Parent-Teen Communication Gap teleconference series that helps individuals and families tap into their potential and greatness. She's also a speaker, author, educator, facilitator, and singer and songwriter. Dr. Beth holds a doctorate in clinical psychology and a master's of education in human resource development. For more information, you may sign up for a no-cost compassionate parenting news and parenting assessments. Visit www.drbeth.com. That's www.drbeth.com. Or contact Dr. Beth at drbeth.com. You may want to take some notes as you listen to some of these ideas during this presentation. Dr. Beth, my first question for you is, what got you started on this pathway of helping others as you do?
Well, first of all, I just want to say hi, Tim, and thank you so much for having me on the call and being interested in knowing what I have to do and what I'm up to. So I just so appreciate you taking the time to interview me.
Oh, absolutely. Believe me, it's my pleasure, and I'm very interested to, you know, just kind of hear, you know, how you got started and more about your pathway, basically, as far as a lot of things you do for the teens, young adults.
Well, I tell you, the truth is I am one big teenager in an adult body. And I
can identify with that.
I bet you can. I think many people on the planet can identify. I think most of us vacillate between our 7-year-old superhero, my little super-duper perfectionistic 7-year-old that got me through my doctoral program, and then my teenager that loves to play and has a huge heart and is just full of life, and we're always looking for something fun to do. So what got me started with the kids, and the teens in particular, is because they are the next generation of leaders. And when I started doing my doctoral degree, I was doing my dissertation on 0 to 3, attachment disorder, and I really wanted to make a difference as children were coming into the world. And I started my private practice with 0 to 3. And you know what? There are not a lot of people that are having a lot of troubles at 0 to 3. I went to a workshop one time. I was doing my parent training, and I had at least 30 people come up to me and say, "When you start doing this with teens, you let me know. When you start doing this with teens, you let me know." And I thought, okay, I can take a clue. I am now doing this with teens. And what I realized is that the teenagers are prior to the 0 to 3 and prior to pregnancy, and what a perfect age to actually give kids the chance to fall madly in love with who they are, so that when they do start a family, they start it from a healthy, whole, complete place, not from a place of needing to use the kids and get into trouble by even having a child that they don't really want and they're not ready to be taken care of. So that's the probably my main reason for getting started. I could go on and on and on, but that'll get us started.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And then it's a similar question. Why is this important to you, and has actually become your passion?
Well, I would say, you know, this is kind of a personal/selfish reason. But I love teen energy. Their defiant little attitude that they can come to life with, and they're completely unrealistic, I can do anything, and turn me loose, high-risk behavior excites me. And they catch on to the concepts that I'm talking about so fast that it really gives me a huge feeling of accomplishment, of success, honor. It's just a pleasure to work with teens. I love it. I love it when they have a little attitude with me, because I didn't have an attitude as a teen. My mom and dad may disagree with this, so at some point I'll be glad to let them have their story. But my story is that I was a people pleaser. I was very compliant. I was afraid to hurt anybody's feelings. And it was probably when I was in my 30s that I started to find my voice and started to individuate from my parents. So I want to give teens a chance and a healthy way to be who they are, and give parents a healthy way to be who they are, set their boundaries, take care of themselves, fall madly in love with their own inner teen, so that they don't need their child to get A's for them. They don't need their child to be the head of the football team for them, living out the dreams that they never were able to accomplish for themselves, because they feel
like they're
not good enough.
It sounds like some of the things you do are almost establishing certain boundaries between the parent and the teen, as far as you say, letting the teen kind of develop their own identity and helping the parents understand what an important process that is. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yes, you're really close. Let me just add one piece to it.
Sure, absolutely.
It is the piece that I feel is missing in society is that it's okay to feel feelings. And I see the drug addictions and the eating addictions and the work addictions and on and on and on, the ways to medicate ourselves so that we don't feel sad, we don't feel mad, we don't feel upset, disappointed, uncomfortable, on and on and on. So I work with the teens and the parents to create space for any feeling. That doesn't mean any behavior, but any feeling, and finding ways to help the children express those feelings in a healthy manner, even to the point of saying to a parent, I hate you. And in my generation, and even with a lot of parents today, if their child said, I hate you, that would be like blasphemous. Right, would you agree, Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Sure, sure.
So I have a 6 or 7-year-old right now with one of my clients that said to his mom, I hate you, and she used to just crumble when her child would say this. And he's a very strong-willed child and would say it over and over and over again. Now she says to him when he says this, boy, you're really mad at me. And he says, yes, I'm really mad. And she said, can you tell me what's going on and why you're so mad at me right now that you feel so strong, such strong feelings? And he says, because I miss my dad. And it's through being able to tolerate that blasphemous listening of I hate that she is able to get to the nuggets of the child's pain, so that he doesn't have to grow up in life hiding this feeling that he has inside and needing to medicate it, and on and on. So that's an example of the work that I do, is helping the parents not crumble when their child does something that would, quote, typically be forbidden to do, to say, and then say, do you really hate me, or are you just really angry with me? And 99 times out of 100, the children will say, of course I don't hate you. I'm just so mad.
Well, and it's interesting, too, and I'm sure you would agree with this, is that dealing with as many teens as you have, which is certainly a huge number, and I've dealt with a lot of teens as well, I think a lot of times parents, when they're having their first teen and they've not had a lot of experience with teens, they almost see that they're the only ones having these kinds of challenges, when in reality it's pretty much all the parents having challenges with these teens. Would that make sense to you?
I would agree wholeheartedly, and would even make this controversial statement that parents that are not having challenges with their teens, that doesn't mean fights with their teens and destructive behavior with their teens, but where they're actually feeling some pushback from the teens, that the
mm-hmm.
teen is stuck in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And when a parent comes to me and says their child has attitude and their child is, you know, disagreeing with them and you know, they've never, you know, who is this child that's invaded my precious little girl or my precious little boy? What has happened? It's not that child that I'm worried about. It's the other child that the parent talks about who says, I have another child. We never had a problem the whole time they grew up. We never had a problem. That's
mm-hmm.
the child
mm-hmm.
that I'm concerned about.
Right, right. No, that makes total sense, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Any other particular stories from a particular, I guess what I was going to ask if you had any other, give our listeners two or three useful tips that they could do now that would, you know, actually help them as far as their teens, whether, and maybe geared toward the female teens or male teens or both, either one, whatever makes sense to you.
Well, in my workshop, I have an hour and a half introductory workshop to give people a chance to see what it's like to work with me. I have teens and I have parents, and all of this is over the phone or in person. One of the calls, I had a 9-year-old boy that at the end of the call, I said, so what did you think about this? And he said, the reason I asked him the question is because the content is really set up more for the parents to understand the teens. And the mm-hmm. child said, my life will never be the same again. I said, ha, ha, ha. You know, what do you mean your life will never be the same again? He said it again like 4 or 5 times. I said, so tell me specifically, what does that mean? And he said, okay, if my mom smokes, that doesn't mean I have to smoke. Mm-hmm. By the way, his parents didn't even smoke, but he got the concept at 9 that just because his parents do X, Y, and Z does not mean he has to do X, Y, and Z. And the way I was teaching the point was to actually teach the parents that whatever you're doing, it's hard to tell your child, you know, if you're smoking a cigarette, then to tell your child don't smoke, you know, it's going in one ear and out the other. He took that concept and completely reversed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said, what I got was, I don't have to be a bad teenager. He said, I was scared to death to be a teenager because I thought I was going to have to be bad and I was going to have fights with my mom and dad. I now know that I don't have to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had another teen at the end of the call. She was 16. She said, with tears rolling down her face, why am I just now learning this material? Why is
mm-hmm.
no one talking about this? And what she was referring to was my information about compliance, defiance, and free choice. So it's actually normal and healthy to go through compliance and being a good little girl. And it's normal
mm-hmm.
and healthy to go through defiance. Excuse me, and seeing something a different way. And if your parents are Democrats, you want to try on Republican. If your parents are Christian, you want to try on Judaism. If your parents are whatever, you want to try something else. And the more, one of the things I tell parents, whatever you're attached to, be ready. That will be the Achilles
mm-hmm.
heel that
mm-hmm.
the child
mm-hmm.
needs to try on. And I was speaking to a high school classroom one time as an example, and I said to one of the teens, so who wants to go to college? And somebody said, I want to go to this college. And let's say they said they wanted to go to Stanford. And I said, okay, poof, I am now your mom, and not only are you going to go to Stanford, it is so important to me that you go to Stanford that I will die if you don't go to Stanford. This is a life, and the child just started screaming, I'm not going to Stanford.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure,
and
sure.
I said, that is hilarious, and I'm not even your mom. And I
right,
said,
right.
erase, erase, erase. I'm not your mom. I don't care if you go to Stanford. It's your life. It's your choice. Now, where are you going to go? And the child said, I'm going to Stanford. I said, well, all right. So, you know, even in role play, if we push the kids into a specific belief that's important to us, they mm-hmm. would rather destroy the relationship and have a fight with the parent than sell their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it feels to the teens. They feel like they are selling their soul if they don't feel like they can make their own choices in life. Then the pattern, then the flip side of that is then how does the parent keep the child safe when they're responsible financially and legally and socially and emotionally and everything else? So I talk to the parents about, you know, when they set a boundary, are you setting a boundary for yourself and your own needs, or are you setting a boundary for your child? And if you're setting a boundary, can you handle the child being mad at you?
Uh-huh.
And is it okay for the child to be mad? And when I ask teens, would you rather your parents or children, either one, when I ask them, if you had a choice of your mom telling you yes and being mad at you, or telling you no and you being mad at her, which would you prefer? And 100% of the time, the teens say, I would rather my parent tell me no and let me
mm-hmm.
get to be mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
But so many parents are afraid of their child's anger that they say yes and then say things like, I've given my life for you.
Boy, isn't that the truth? Well,
yeah.
the parent does what makes the parent feel good in the moment, versus trying to do what's best for their son or daughter in the long run.
Right, because it's hard being a mom and dad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It is not a hero job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kids need a parent. They don't need a buddy. That's for sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
easier said than done when you're the parent, though.
Absolutely. No, I've raised two myself, and you do know my daughter Shannon already, and haven't met my son David, but he lives down below there in Huntington Beach, California. So they're both on the West Coast, and I love them both dearly. But you know, there's certainly, I understand the ups and downs as far as raising kids and being involved as a middle school and high school teacher and coach and everything. I've seen a lot of kids just like you have. So. But this has been fantastic, Dr. Beth. I want to ask you how people could contact you to learn more on how this program could help them. Okay, and
before we switch, I just want to make a comment about your daughter. She is phenomenal, and have loved having her in my life and all that she's up to. I don't know if you're getting a chance to interview her, but she would be a great interview as well. Maybe sometime.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Dr. Beth. I'm very proud of her, and she'll be on the interview set up here pretty soon at some point. That's for sure. But I appreciate the plug for her very much, and you know she thinks a great deal of you as well. That's for sure.
We're on a similar path, having a lot of fun out here on the coast.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So you're
are you familiar? I was going to ask you real quick. Are you familiar with Dr. Barbara McCray out of Colorado? I really should try to hook you two up a little bit.
I don't think so. No, I'd love to meet her.
Okay, she's pretty amazing, and I'll get you some information on her, and I'll shoot it out to you as far as via email and everything, because you two really should be in contact with each other, because you're doing some very wonderful similar things and everything, and she's got like a webcast or podcast. I'm not sure of all the different technical things they have going on out there now, but she's she has her own worldwide radio program sent out over the web.
Excellent, excellent. Yes,
yep.
I have that as well on Women's Radio, Bridging the Parent-Teen Gap and Transforming Bad Teen Rap on Women's Radio. But the best way you can reach me is drbeth at drbeth.com. And I do coaching over the phone. I do workshops for parents, for teens, and keynote speeches. And I would love to talk about this topic any day, anywhere.
Okay, well, fantastic. I want to stay in touch with you, obviously, Dr. Beth, and, you know, this has been fantastic. I really believe that, you know, you shared some wonderful information here that's going to be very helpful, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the near future.
Thanks so much, Tim, and I appreciate everything that you're doing and all the work you're doing with teens, and it's great to collaborate. So let's keep up the good work.
Thank you, Dr. Beth. I do appreciate it very much.
Okay.